Our Old Testament passage today is found in the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. I always approach this chapter with some degree of reservation. Many years ago, I read a book by Maya Angelou called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and she reports in there one day she was wandering around the town where she lived at the time, and she came across a Baptist church, and it said on the bulletin board that the pastor was preaching on the Valley of Dry Bones that day, and she said, and this is a sermon when done well can lift your heart. That tells you a couple of things. One, she had heard many sermons done on it, and it was something that it's a message that has the power to move one's heart. I've always longed to be able to preach a sermon like that I cause people to for their dry bones to come together and get up and rattle for a while and then come to life. We'll see what happens. The 37th chapter, I'm going to read the first 14 verses, and then we will see the message, hopefully, of the Lord. Ezekiel is a prophet in the time that the people of God are in exile. They are disheartened, they are discouraged, and they wonder if they will ever sense the presence of God again. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, Mortal, or in a more popular translation, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel, and they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. The lament of God's people, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off. Now, we can understand those words clearly from a people that were in exile. They were under occupation by a foreign power. But it is hard for us sometimes to recognize that in our own circumstance, sometimes we feel the same way. Our bones are dried up. It just seems like that energy that was once there, that desire to move forward in what God wants to accomplish, it just seems to be lost. We've lost that vision of what it means to be empowered by that indwelling spirit. We've lost what it means to be able to be a hopeful people as we look toward the future. As you look in our world today, we recognize that there are many problems that beset us. But as Jean reminded us earlier today in her presentation, it's certainly not the worst it's ever been. There's certainly been other times. I've gone back, I've never actually heard the words, but I've read many times about President Roosevelt's announcement on that day, but a day of infamy that will live forever. And you will remember remember that the whole world was in turmoil and people were called out of their everyday lives to go off and fight wars, and life was disrupted not for a year, not for 6 months, not even for two or three, but for 5 years the whole world was inflamed, and for a generation after that trying to put it back together. And then we look at our lives today and we say, oh, woe is us. Because it seems that trouble is on every turn. The voice is constantly calling us to say, don't trust this person, don't trust that person. And putting one group against another group and saying that somehow if we prosper, somebody else has to suffer. God's people had the additional burden laid on them that it was because of their very own actions that they had been cast into exile. Because they had failed to live their lives with one another in the way that God had commanded, and because of that, God used the world affairs of the time to punish them. But the promise of God that comes to Elijah is one that causes us to stop and ask, do we really believe in that spirit power that can come and make a difference in our lives? The prophet Ezekiel is called out, and God sends a vision, shows him a valley of dry bones. And he says, O son of man, can these bones live? Now Elijah is in a little bit of a pickle here, because he is a man of faith. He is a man who believes in the power of God, but he's looking at a scene that looks like it might be beyond redemption. And so he answers in a very, I think, a very clever way. O Lord, thou knowest. In other words, I don't have a clue. I don't know how this could possibly happen, but if you've asked the question, you must know. And then God says to him to prophesy to the bone. And every child has sung a song about the hip bone and the knee bone and the head bone and all those different bones as they come together. And for me, it's hard for me to read this anymore without thinking about reversing a reel of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, when the flesh and the skin come off of it. But this is the reverse of that, and it is all put on. And so after the bones come together and the sinews and the ligaments and the muscles, which I think is what he's talking about when he talks about the flesh, and then the skin is on it. And so you have this valley, and the indication here is this is like there's been a great battle going on there. So things are all scattered around, and they come together with a great rattling. And then all of a sudden, they're just all standing there. There is no power. Boy, there's not a preacher of a mainline Baptist church in the world that doesn't know what that looks like, because we look at it almost every Sunday. Only they're not standing up. They're all sitting down. They're quiet. There's no movement. There's no energy. There's no power. There's no spirit. And Elijah's looking at this mass of people that are unmoved, no expression on their face. And then God says, prophets. The spirit moves in mysterious ways. The stillness causes the pastor to forget the name of the prophet. And it's written right there at the top of the page. Ezekiel is told. Thank you very much. Life is full of its little embarrassing moments. Ezekiel, son of man, O mortal one, prophesy to these bones that the breath might come upon them. And do you know where the breath comes from? In the same place that it came from in the day of creation, from all the four corners of the earth, the breath of God, the Ruach, comes and empowers all the people. And in that moment, that which was dead, that which was lost from all hope, is given new life. Now, Ezekiel, as he's looking upon this scene, has got to be wondering, what exactly is going on here? What is the message? Because the message that God is giving him, he's giving him directly. Everybody in town is not seeing this vision. All the people who are in exile are not seeing this vision. But Ezekiel is seeing it, and if you go back and read the whole book, and it's a fairly lengthy one, but it is well worth your time, Ezekiel goes back and forth between those who are in exile and those who are in the homeland and says that God has not forsaken us. But in the valley of the dry bones, God says to him, go back and say to the people that I am going to bring them back. I am going to give them new life. I am going to bring life into those dry bones. It is very important for us to remember that the kinds of visions that God gives the prophets in those days are not only for that one day alone, but if we will look at them and we will imagine our circumstance, that we will know that no matter how dead a situation seems, no matter how far removed from hope a situation is, if God's people will turn to God, if we will pray, if we will trust, and if we will do that which we need to do. Because God has always worked through the people of God to accomplish His purposes. And so as we hear about the Valley of the Dry Bones, it seems to us to be a story that is so full of imagination that sometimes we forget that it is well anchored in a particular historical situation. We may think that our times are troubled. We may think that there is not a way forward. But if we think that, we miss the message that God gave the prophet Ezekiel, that His people not only had all the kinds of problems that we might imagine in the world, but they were taken away from everything that was familiar to them. They were taken away from the temple. They were taken away from the land which had been promised to them as an inheritance for all the ages. We think we have it bad sometimes? Imagine what our neighbors in Israel go through every day simply to maintain their existence. Think about what God's people have endured down through the ages in terms of persecution, in terms of those who rise up and try to destroy them, and remember that these are also our brothers and sisters. These are also people who are part of God's plan. And God says in one place in the New Testament, through Paul, if their temporary disobedience has given us the opportunity to become a part of God's graceful kingdom, how much greater will be their full inclusion one day? It seems to me that everybody needs to be reminded of that, because there's still people in the Christian church who see the Jews as only a pawn in God's unfolding ultimate destruction of the world. But the prophet Ezekiel does not give us a vision of an ultimate destruction. He gives us a vision of an ultimate rebuilding, a renewing, bring life out of death. Sometimes we become so caught up in our own individual circumstances that we lose sight of what it means to look forward. The other message that Ezekiel has for us is that he was called the prophet of individual responsibility. I know Jeremiah used the phrase, but Ezekiel used it and explained it a little further when he said, you used to say the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and I have set the children's teeth on edge. But Ezekiel says to us as a message from God, but no longer shall you say that, but everyone is individually responsible. So when you look at any group, whether it be your church, whether it be your student school, whether it be your workplace, it is every individual's responsibility to try to make it better, to do what needs to be done so that the world might operate in the way that God has called us to operate. It will involve us making decisions, and sometimes we won't make the right ones. And even then, God offers us a way out. The Valley of the Dry Bones. When you think it can't get any worse, beware, because it probably still can. When you think it's bad as it's ever been, talk to somebody who's been there in an earlier time to remember when it was a whole lot worse than it is now. And remember that in the darkest days that there were, God's people have clung to the kinds of visions that He's given through the ages. But also remember The companion piece to this, which I chose today, which is that little reading from the book of Revelation, a book that remains very mysterious to us, as mysterious as Ezekiel, where the prophet is again called to prophesy to a church and say to that church, you have a reputation of being alive, but it's not so. You're not alive. And when you find yourself in that circumstance, God says, repent, come to life, ask for that wind to come through to lift us up that we might become God's people. Remember, whether we call him Ezekiel or Elijah, that the prophets of God have come through, and they have come at a time sometimes when it seems that hope is gone, but they always end up giving us a word of hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the vision of Ezekiel and what it can mean for us today. Help us to remember that down through the ages, you have come with a word of hope when things seem darkest. Help us to know that even when it seems life has simply faded away from us, that there is always the possibility of renewal and new life. Help us to embrace this vision within our hearts. Help us to go back and read other visions of Ezekiel, that we might have a vision in our own day of what it means to be truly alive and excited about what you're doing in our midst and in our world. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 2241, The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve. As we leave here today, may we go in thankfulness for the neighbor next to us and for the one we've not yet met, we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.